Now that I said it. All right, Genesis 49. Now, God the Father speaks of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, throughout Scripture. And this is so in our text this morning. In our text, Jacob is dying, and he's called his 12 sons, and the son that we're going to focus on this morning is Judah. And what Jacob says here to Judah is a type, Judah's a type of Christ. And what he says here concerning Judah is true of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read it beginning in verse 8. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And to him, unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's coat unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. Now, I want to just look at these scriptures like we've been doing in our Bible study on Friday nights and just take our points right here from each of these that are mentioned. The first thing we see is Christ Jesus is the one whom his brethren shall praise. Verse 8, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. The name Judah means praise. When Leah had Judah, she said, now will I praise the Lord. And therefore she called his name Judah. It means praise. All who are born of the Spirit of God, all those that have been elected unto salvation in Christ Jesus, shall be brought to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ alone shall have our praise. Through the Spirit, Paul said that no flesh should glory in his presence. Here's salvation, the way that no flesh is going to glory in his presence. Of God are his people in Christ. Who of God, Christ is made unto them wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, here's why salvation's of the Lord. That as according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. That's the only way that man's not going to pat himself on the back. That's the only way that man's not going to praise himself is if it's of God are ye in Christ, and of God is Christ made all unto you. That's the only way. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. We praise him alone, and by praising Christ alone, we praise the triune God. Because it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And in him dwells all fullness of the Godhead bodily. We praise him because of that, because of the excellency of his person. He's God. He is God. Whatever we say about Christ, if we were to diminish Christ in anything, it's the same as saying the same word about God, because he's God. The wonders of redemption, we praise him for that. We praise him for the abundance of his grace and the goodness of his providence. He will receive all praise. Here's the second thing. Christ Jesus is victorious over all his enemies. Verse 8, thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. When you get a good grip on a man's neck, you're holding his life in your hand then. And that's how the enemy is destroyed in an instant. When Christ was made sin, he put away sin. When he was made sin, he put away sin. And he makes his people the righteousness of God in him. And he's reigning. He always has, and he is now. He's reigning in heaven and in earth over all providence. He's reigning. And so his name is Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And there's no enemy of Christ, none at all, that shall escape. None at all. He's victorious over all his enemies. the Lord said this. He didn't say to any angels or anybody. He said, God Almighty said to the Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. And because his one offering, by his one offering, when he had made that one offering and he perfected forever his people, he rose to the right hand of the Father and sat down, henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. And the scripture says, he must reign till he hath put down all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. It's death. Now that's all of them. If death is destroyed, the rest of them are destroyed. Now here's the third thing. God the Father's children shall all bow down before Christ Jesus. Verse 8. We're in Genesis 49, verse 8. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. That was our first point. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Christ is victorious over all our enemies. Here's the third thing. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Now, as a type of this, as a foreshadowing of this being true in Christ Jesus, the whole nation of Israel bowed before King David and King Solomon. But this is one who's greater than David, is Christ our Lord. He's Lord of all. He's God in human flesh, and God the Father will have all his children to bow to him and own him as Lord. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord, both of the dead and the living. And he's Lord. He is Lord. All God's elect children shall bow to him in faith and confess him to be Lord. That's what faith is. Faith is owning Christ Jesus to be your Lord, to be your King. You don't make him that. He is that. He comes in power and makes it known to you that he is Lord and he is King. And you bow to a King and you bow to him. That's what the scripture says. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. What did Paul say? That no man can call him Lord but by the Spirit. I mean, truly, truly bow to him and submit to him and serve him. It's one thing to call him Lord with this mouth. It's another one for that confession to come out of the heart. And all, even his enemies, shall bow and confess him to be Lord. Look at Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2. Hold your place here. We'll come back to this in a moment. But look at Philippians 2 in verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of all things, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And all shall. Here's the fourth thing. You can hold your place there in Philippians 2. I'll have you come back there in just a moment. Here's the fourth thing. Christ Jesus is the power and wisdom of God for his people. Verse 9, he says, Judah is a lion's whelp. Judah is a lion's whelp. Our Lord is compared to a young lion right here. To a young lion. The lion is, what is the lion? King of the jungle, right? Christ is King. The lion is strong. Christ is the power. The lion is wise. Christ is the wisdom. The lion walks where he wants to. He does what he wants to, and nobody stops him from doing what he wants to do. That's Christ our Lord. He says here in verse 9, he says, from the prey, my son, thou art gone up. Christ the Son of God came to where we are. He lived righteously, magnified God's law. He went to the cross and put away the sin of his people. He went into the grave, but now he's arisen. He has gone up, and he's with the Father. It says, verse 9, he stooped down. He stooped down. He crouched, couched as a lion. He stooped down. Look at verse back over there, Philippians 2, 5. Philippians Let this mind be in you, which also was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, who being God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. This is the stoop we're talking about. He made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's the stoop we're talking about. He stooped down. You know, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, Scripture says, for your sakes he became poor, that you might be made rich. Look at verse 9 again. He says, he couched as a lion and as an old lion. Now he's described as an old lion. He was described as a lion's whelp. Now he's described as an old lion. He's a wise lion, an old lion. And he won the victory. It's finished. Now, who shall rouse him up? He's seated in glory. Who shall rouse him up? This is what Revelation 5:5 says. One of the elders said unto me, weep not, don't weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. He's prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. This is who we're talking about, Christ the Lord. All right, here's the fifth thing. The scepter shall not depart from Christ Jesus the Lord. Look at verse 10. It says here, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. Now God assured Jacob, and he assured all his true children. He assured them that the government, that political nation, would last, that Judah would last, because from Judah, Jesse, David, Solomon is coming Christ the Lord. And he said, for his sake and for this very cause, he said, I'm going to preserve that government. I'm going to preserve that people, and it'll always last. That's what Isaiah's been saying through the whole book that we've been going through. He's been saying, trust the Lord. He's speaking to Judah, and he's saying, trust the Lord. He's proving who knows him and who doesn't know him, because there's a great trial coming, and those who know him are going to put their trust in him and submit to him and serve him. And he said, those who aren't are going to be carried away into the world, and they'll be lost in the world. And he says here, and a proof that that's the true is because Christ has come. Where's Judah now? Where's Judah now? Where's the government now of Judah? That political nation. But the greater meaning to us right now is this. He is now our king, and the government is on his shoulder, and the government shall never depart from him, nor shall he cease to give pastors after his own heart. There'll not be a lawgiver cease as long as he's king. He'll give pastors to preach his gospel, to preach his law, to preach his word as long as he's king. We're talking about, and he's coming again too. Shiloh's going to return. Just like in this day, it was the scepter won't depart. The king's scepter won't depart from Judah until Shiloh comes. And he's coming. Shiloh means son. And we're talking about God's son. Turn over to Isaiah 9:6. And we're talking about government. Turn over to Isaiah 9:6. Shiloh means son. And we're dealing here with the king, with the one who is the king. Now look what it says, Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. This is Shiloh. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, the scepter's in his hand. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord will perform this. Be looking at Ezekiel chapter 21. Ezekiel chapter 21. Shiloh means the one to whom it belongs. The one to whom it belongs. Look at Ezekiel 21 and look in verse 25.
This is what he says to the false kings, to the ones who would set themselves up as kings of Israel, of his Israel. He says in verse 25, "And thou profane, wicked prince of Israel, whose day is come, when iniquity shall have an end, thus saith the Lord God, remove the diadem, take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low, and abase him that's high." Look at verse 27. "I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I'll give it to him." That's what Shiloh means, to him whom it belongs, to whom it belongs. And Shiloh means peace. What did we just read there in Isaiah 9:6? He's the prince of peace, the king of peace. Salem, the king of peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Shiloh means prosperous. You know what the scripture says in Isaiah 53:10? The pleasure of the Lord, what God is satisfied to do, shall prosper in his hand. That's who we're talking about. All right, here's the sixth thing back in our text. "Unto Christ shall all the elect of God be gathered." Look at verse 10, the end, the last phrase there. "And unto him shall the gathering of the people be." Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. It says him, a person, not to a land, not to a hill, not to an earthly city, not to a temple, an earthly temple. "Unto him shall the gathering of the people be." And not only that, but he's the one that's going to gather them. He's going to gather them. Let me read you some scripture. "I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there will be one fold and one shepherd." He said, if I be lifted up, signifying what death he was to die on the cross, if I be lifted up, he said, I'm going to gather. I'm going to draw all unto me. All his people, all those that he was lifted up for, he said, I'm going to draw them all to me. Look here in verse 11. His fold and each elect child of God for whom he died, and he's the vine. Look at verse 11. "Binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass his colt unto the choice vine." Do you remember when he came to Jerusalem, and he came and he told him, "Go get this ass's colt that's never been ridden before." And he got on that ass's colt and rode it. It's never been ridden before. When he comes into the heart through the Spirit that he's made new, when he comes in through the Holy Spirit, he tames his wild ass's colt, just like he came in conquering on that colt. And he binds his foal to the vine, to the choice vine. And he's that vine. He binds us to him in irresistible grace and his constraining love. He does so by making us to behold him upon the cross as our substitute, washing his garments in blood, purging us of our sin, redeeming us from all iniquity, treading the winepress of God's fury alone. Look at verse 11. It says, "Binding his foal into the vine and his ass's colt into the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes." That's what he did after he tied up that ass's coat. He went to the cross, and that's what he did. He washed his garments in wine. Having been made sin, God poured out eternal hell on his son, unleashed hell on his son, and he satisfied eternal wrath, eternal justice. He satisfied it, and he washed his garments in blood, and he tread the winepress alone. And it says here that we're going to behold that when he did this, his eyes were red and his teeth were white with milk. Look at verse 11. "His eyes shall be red with wine and his teeth white with milk." What does that mean? When you see him, when he comes and he's conquered you, that foal, that that wild ass's colt, when he's conquered you and he's bound you to himself and he causes you to behold what he did on Calvary's tree, you're going to see that as he did it, his eyes were filled with the wine, filled with blood. He was looking forward willingly, looking to going and being made sin for his people to put away their iniquity, that they might be one with the Father. And his teeth are white with milk. Even as he did what he did on Calvary's tree, he makes you to behold what true faithfulness is, that even unto death, a holy and faithful, as pure as white milk, he never faltered. He never wavered. He was faithful to his Father even unto death. And when he does that, he fills you with the wine. He refreshes your soul with wine. Just with that blood, it's just like wine. It thrills your soul. It causes you to behold him who is your holiness and your righteousness. It causes you to be bound to him. To want to just, he binds you to him, but you want to be bound to him. You want to be bound to him forever. And what he does, he makes his children, by that, he makes his children praise him, because they all shall. He makes his children to trust him because they see he's won the victory. He makes his children to bow by that and say, he's Lord. He makes his children to rejoice when they see he is the power and wisdom of God. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah which hath prevailed. And he makes his children rejoice to rest in his government, to rest in his reign over heaven and earth, and the church and all things in providence over their life. They rest in him. They delight that he will not cease to give his pastors, and they delight to hear the message of him proclaimed. And they're waiting for his return. And his gospel makes you continually gather to him, to continually come desiring to be bound to him. You know what true faith is? Perseverance of the saints is, Peter said, to whom coming? We're just constantly, continually coming to Christ. Continually coming to Christ. Every day, every morning. And turn with me to Revelation chapter 5 and we'll close. Has he made you willing to come to him? Has he made you, has he drawn you and gathered you to him? I pray he'd give us grace to come to him, give you grace to worship him. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And he said, you'll find rest for your souls. Rest for your souls. And we'll never, ever, ever stop praising him. In heaven's glory, in the new heavens and the new earth, we'll be praising him from here on out. Look at Revelation 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. That's Shiloh, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. All right, amen.